Great to see everyone today, and we're certainly looking forward to this service, and are most grateful to those who want to obey the Lord in the waters of baptism. Before I start, one of the things that I wanted to, a little story I heard one time, and incidentally, as the, get some of these papers shuffled around, it was an Afro-American church, okay? It was Baptism Sunday. And what they do, we only dunked them once, okay? They did it three times. And each time they did it, the pastor, to this one gentleman, he says, "Does you believe?" And he puts him down and brings him, "Yes, I believe." Well, he did it twice, and on the third time, he says, "What do you believe?" He says, "I believe you're trying to drown me." We're not, okay, if you're a little nervous, and you're being baptized today, don't worry, this will not happen. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter, and we're going to look at it, this verse together this morning. Yes, there's going to be a lot going on. We have two individuals that have consented to give their testimony, and then we have three individuals that are of quieter nature, I understand. Or maybe I should say timid, and that's quite all right. Matthew chapter 28, and I want to begin to read at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, let us just stop there for a moment, because it is suggested that probably they weren't just the disciples there at that moment, okay? And because that's why it says, and some doubted him. Then Jesus came to them and said, "Authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." God will bless the reading of his word this morning. This is known, this passage, and in some of your Bible, there's a caption above it which says, "The Great Commission." This is the Lord Jesus talking to disciples shortly before he leaves this world, and he reminds them of what his will and desire is. Now, let's just stop there for a moment, and I want to ask you a question. When you get up in the morning, whose will are you concerned about? See, sometimes we can get in rut, and we get up, and we get all these plans for the day, and really it's about what I am going to do. My question is, do we invite the Lord to lead us and are conscious of his presence as we go through that day? See, folk, it really boils down to one thing. Life boils down to one thing, and that is our mission here is to please God, not to please ourselves. Our mission in life, or our goal in life, should be that we please him. How do we please him? Well, it's not by going our own way and doing our own desires, and we're going to come to that just a little later on. Now, you know what the problem is, don't you? We all want the blessing of God, the favor of God, but you know what happens? We leave God out of everything. See, that's what I find in working with people. You know, they get themselves in such messes, and then they cry out to God. Well, some of these messes God can't resolve himself. It's so entangled. There's such consequences. And it's a shame because, yes, we seem to want to do it. Oh, yeah. Want to do it on our own or our way. Our way. And really, when we come to Christ, our way is to die. Our way is not important. It is to die to our desires and put Christ first. I want to just bring out here a few things in this passage. And that is this morning, what is the Great Commission? Can I suggest to you that if you find church boring, no one ever thought of that. No one ever experienced that, have they? Or if you start looking at the church and finding it's not really what it's supposed to be, then we become critical, don't we? But you know what I think the answer is? I think the answer is found here. Is get our eyes off of our plans and get it on others. See, if you sit in church and say, well, okay, I didn't get much out of that. But do we sit there and say, you know what? There's others here today that probably will benefit a whole lot by that. Now, what am I getting at? He says, go into the world. Maybe I just should emphasize here. See, the mission of the church is to go. All right? It's not come. We're to come to him. But the church is to go into all the world or all nations. And what are they supposed to do? Well, we find here from Matthew, they're to make disciples. Oh, their responsibility is to make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. A disciple is different than an apostle. An apostle was a sent one. Disciples are followers. Someone has said it may be better explained this way. Being a disciple is like being an apprentice. How many of you have ever been an apprentice or done an apprenticeship? Yeah, there's a few. And the rest of you have done nothing, right? No. We work under someone to get, during that apprenticeship. To be a disciple, let's go back to the first. We're not under our will, but we're under Christ's, and we're a follower of him, okay? And we're going to get our instructions from where? From Christ. We're to follow and be an example of him. Sometimes I think of, you know, whether it comes to woodworking, I'll use an illustration. There was a gentleman that came from the city of Toronto years ago and bought a little building in the big metropolis of Maynooth. And he had a woodworking shop. He'd done this all his life. And he did things for camp, even though he was not a professing believer. God's the judge. But man, did I learn a lot being working with that gentleman who spent his whole life doing woodworking. Now, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we must be under his direction and do what he says. Especially in woodworking, if you don't do the right thing, I have one finger that's as far as it'll go, okay? It's only scar tissue. Now, it wasn't from what you thought. Nothing to do with my nose, but it has to do with a table saw. And I was using a, I was tired in the day. Why I ever thought of this, I don't know. And it was a Dato blade that went back and forth. And anyway, it was doing a wonderful job when it was used right. But I happened to go the wrong way, foolishly, and I paid for it. But see what I'm saying? If we don't follow the rules, if we don't follow the instructions, we can get ourselves in a real, real, real mess. So we must follow Christ. Now, being a disciple of Jesus, what does he say? The second thing is to make disciples. Let me go down here and therefore go make disciples of all nations. And what is the instruction here? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me just stop here, and I'm going to ask two ladies to come and give their testimony. The greatest, folks, the greatest decision we'll ever make in our lives is when we stop rebelling against God, taking sides with God and His Word, and committing our lives to one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, because you know why? We can enter into relationships down here, and they can mess up. But I'm going to tell you something about the relationship we have with Him is eternal, and don't just live for today. Live in light of eternity. We give our lives to Christ not only to cleanse us from our wickedness, give us eternal life, but oh, dwell on those things that He's got in store. And you know what? The journey is going to be worth it all. Okay, first one I'm going to pick on is Diane Bamford. And she's going to come up here and she's going to share her testimony when she came to Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
It's okay.
What a privilege and honor it is to have all of you here to witness and to celebrate my baptism. And what a blessing it is to do it with my sister, Sandy. I was baptized in 2002 in the York River in Bancroft with my late mother present. It wasn't for the right reasons. I continue to live my life with no changes. This past year, I've been so blessed as our Heavenly Father has regenerated my heart and filled me with the Holy Spirit. I now am truly saved. I am a new person. Romans 6, 3-7. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized unto Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through a baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Today I confidently rededicate myself wholly and completely to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From now and until he takes me home for eternity.
Praise God. We can do this. Okay. Sandra, card, it's your turn.
I'm a little taller. Good morning, everyone. What an incredible honor, privilege, and blessing it is to publicly proclaim, I'm not going to cry, to God and to all of you, my commitment to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless you. In 1997, I regularly attended a church, and what I mean by regularly was when it was convenient, or when I could manage to get myself out of bed, or when I didn't have something better to do, then I would go to church. I felt I was pretty committed, and I even read my Bible back then, but I never studied it. The church we were going to was offering the opportunity to be baptized, and I thought this was a great idea. I wanted to make a change in my life, but I also didn't want to give up on any of the fun I was having in order to do that. So I got baptized anyway, and it was wonderful. And even one of my sons, chose to be baptized as well. That should be the end of a great story, but it's not. I had gone through the baptismal process, but I lived my life the way I wanted to, and I didn't. I didn't view my sin any differently than I had before I was baptized. I loved my sin because I certainly had no desire to give it up. I treated God like my magic genie that I had at my disposal. I recited and believed the sinner's prayer and thought that this was all I needed to do to be saved and to go to heaven. I had no desire to build a relationship with God, spend time with God, pray or spend time studying His Word, and I certainly could always find something much better to do with my time. I continued to do whatever I wanted, with little to no remorse for any of the poor decisions I made. I didn't see my sin for what it really was, an abomination to God Himself. My sin kept me separated from Him, and sadly, if I had died back then, I would have been separated from God for an eternity because I was not saved. God knew my heart. He knew my motives and my deepest thoughts. He always does. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can keep secret from Him. After all, He is our Creator. I had no idea I was on a path straight to hell. Now, fast forward to today, 27 years later. I am still a wretched sinner who does not deserve God's grace and mercy, His love and His forgiveness, but He gives it to me anyway. There's nothing I could do or could ever do to deserve the precious gift from God. He chose me, and I know that because I was dead in my sin and too full of it to ever truly desire a life with Him. He alone gets all the glory and praise for my salvation. By God's incredible and loving grace alone, I am still alive to give this testimony. His Holy Spirit lives in me, and when I draw my last breath and my body dies, I will immediately be in the wonderful presence of Jesus. Praise be to God. I desire to make it my priority above else for the rest of my life here to build a relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to read and study His Word, which is complete and inerrant. Scripture is God-breathed, and I like to refer to it as the owner's manual on how to live my life. How I long to hear from God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. In closing, I would like to share a Bible passage that really resonates with me. It's a psalm, and it was written by King David. David loved God very much, but he was still a sinner, just like I am. There was a period in David's life where his sin was particularly grievous, and it involved adultery and murder. God used the prophet Nathan to show David his sin, and when he saw it for what it really was, that his sin was against his beloved God, he was truly remorseful. God forgave David. But remember, God sees into our hearts, and He knows if we are just giving a lip service or if we genuinely are grieved by our sin. Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 to 12. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. And for those that may not know, but they are sisters. And I've known them for a long, long time. I'm not going to tell you how many birthdays I've had. Okay. I was talking about the Great Commission. We are to go into the world. Our focus should be on pleasing Christ, and secondly, the needs of mankind. What is not the social needs, even though there are many, the greatest need that man has is his need of a Savior, and that is our responsibility to be witness to those that we come in contact with. The next, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the subject of baptism, today we're talking about believers' baptism. I know that the different thoughts that come out as we work with people. It could be infant baptism, or it could be a terminology is baptismal regeneration. Some believe that we are saved when we're baptized. Others believe and teach that it's faith plus baptism equals salvation. Now, we don't adhere to those. And today we're talking about believers' baptism. One thing about the grace of God, and God coming to us with that offer of grace, is that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do to add to our salvation. Can we die and not be baptized? Yes, that can happen. What about the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then you say, well, why should I be baptized? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us. There was no opportunity for the thief on the cross. But because the first reason why we should be baptized is we have in the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, just stop there for a moment. Someone has said, what is taught in the Gospels, practiced in the book of Acts, and expounded on in the epistles is a good teaching to adhere to. The problem you have with some of these other teachings about baptism, we don't find it taught in the Gospels. And in fact, it can be personal interpretation, and I don't want to go into that this morning, but I want to simply say, why do I want to be baptized? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he commanded us to be baptized. Secondly, why should I be baptized? Because it identifies us with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Some of you may know the Lord. I ask people, on a regular basis, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I trusted the Lord way back years ago. Now, folks, I'm not the judge. Praise God for that. But you don't see any evidence. See, baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Just as these ladies this morning testify to their salvation and wanting to allow the Lord to control their lives. And so as we go through the waters of baptism, we are identifying ourselves with the only Savior of sinners, and we're expressing to the world that we want to yield to Him. Thirdly, it's expression of our love for the Lord Jesus. John chapter 14, we read, "If you love me," what? "Keep my commandments." And then he says in John 5, this is love for God, to obey his commands. Now, we're not talking about a list of moral responsibilities. It's basically the teachings of Jesus. What are we to obey? Okay, that's why we need to read the Bible, because what did Jesus say? That's important. Okay, so why are we baptized? Because it is Christ commands it. It identifies us with Christ. It's expression of our love, and also as I have said, it's an external expression of an inward reality. Now I'm going to go on from here. The candidates now can be dismissed. They're going to get ready. But you haven't got all the message. Yeah, thank you, folks. I want to go back on one of my points I brought out here. And it's an expression of our love. And out of our love for Christ, we obey them. Most of us all struggle with authority, right? Yes. For someone to tell us to do something doesn't usually go over very well. And of course, it depends how it's said. When we're told to do something or we're told we're wrong, what is it within us that causes us to sort of push back? That's our sin nature. And that is the result of us wanting our own way. Take something from a child, and guess what? He proves he's a little sinner. Okay? Now, when it comes to our lives as adults, do we think a lot about the need of obeying Christ and his word? Story in the Old Testament that I'm just going to conclude on is, remember that Saul was to go and he was to destroy the Amalekites. They weren't to bring back anything. The king, people, possessions. And what happened? Well, Saul came back. He had the king. They brought some of the choicest of animals. They got rid of some of the people, maybe most of the people. When Saul came back, he was so pleased for the fact that he felt he accomplished the mission. And Samuel pointed out to him very clearly that, Saul, you didn't do what God asked you to do. There was only partial obedience. And when it comes to God, who is our superior, he demands or requests full obedience, not partial obedience. And do you know what Samuel said to Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do you know what? There's people can be very pious about and feel they should do things even though they're not fully obedient, but they'd like other people to think, well, actually, they've deceived themselves. Partial obedience is we're deceiving ourselves. What God wants is full obedience. And as a result of that, Samuel told Saul, he said, you know what? Hey, man, that's just the sin of rebellion is as witchcraft and idolatry. There's not one of us here today, not one of us here today would agree that idolatry is a good thing or witchcraft is a good thing. But you know what we do? What is idolatry? It's putting someone or something ahead of God. Wow. Wow. How many times is the heart of God grieved because we don't look at life from his perspective and his desire? Well, no one's going to say anything. And you know what I really feel that the problem is today? Okay, folks, get ready. Where the church is not calling it as it is. The church is not calling it as it is. You know what? Sin is still sin. Disobedience is still disobedience. Not only does it, break the heart of God, but it hinders him from blessing us as individuals. And so today, I want to leave it there. Because we have some candidates who are ready downstairs. And I brought up a hymn book. We don't have the numbers on, today we can't have the PowerPoint, but I'd like you to turn with me, and I've got it right here. That is, Barb, you're going to have to help me because I wrote it down here, and Jesus Paid It All. 290? Okay, let's rise, folks, and we're going to sing 290, Jesus Paid It All. Nothing to add, it's all paid. We want to obey because we love him. Let's stand to sing. I have heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. And in him am I all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He has paid it thousand sins. He washed it white as snow. Okay, we'll conclude on the second verse. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I guess we're going to keep singing because I don't see any bodies here. And let's sing the third verse. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Everybody in the chorus. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lip shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He washed me white as snow. Okay, you may be seated. And just for instruction, what we're going to do as each candidate comes up, we're going to go ahead with Sandra, but after she's done, please sing with us the chorus here, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That is number 500, I'm sorry. Sandra Card, upon confession of your faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Trust and obey. And obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Is he coming? Next we have Diane Bamford. Okay, we'll sing the chorus again. All right. Diane, upon confession of your faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus, but to trust and obey. Now Marty is going to come and he's going to do the honors for his family. Makara Cochran is next. I've chosen to ask three questions, and the first one is, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Makara, yes, you have. When did this take place in your life, and would you like to just share some circumstances? Okay, very, very good. When we get saved when we're young, we don't always know exactly, do we? Do you understand that in the act of baptism, that baptism is a symbol of Christ's burial and resurrection? Our entrance into the water during baptism identifies us with Christ's death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection from the dead, a brand new life. It is a symbol of your new life as a Christian. Okay. Upon confession of your faith and obedience to the Lord's command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk and newness of life. Thank you very much. Obey, for there's no other way. Roland Cochran, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When did this take place in your life? Please share circumstances of how this happened. Good for you. Do you understand that the act of baptism, that baptism is a symbol of Christ's burial and resurrection? Our entrance into the water during baptism identifies us with Christ's death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection from the dead, a brand new life. It is a symbol of your new life as a Christian. Upon the confession of your faith and obedience to the Lord's command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Thank you. Stand, obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's warmer than Graphite Lake. Tina O'Neill, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes. When did this take place in your life and circumstances around that happening? Yes. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Do you understand that in the act of baptism, that baptism is a symbol of Christ's burial and resurrection? Our entrance into the water during baptism identifies us as Christ's death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection from the dead, a brand new life. It is a symbol of your new life as a Christian. Upon confession of your faith and obedience to the Lord's command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Third way. Now, while these candidates are changing, let's turn in our hymn books to number 531, and we're just going to sing a couple verses of this hymn, and then we're going to turn to a chorus. Let's rise to sing. We'll sing the first and second verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Take your little hymnals, please, or course books, I should say. And we want to sing number 52, and then at the conclusion, I'm going to ask John Baker just to conclude our service in prayer, please. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Brethren, life's what I for. You died on Calvary. Your judge was all I long for. You have given life. Let's have that one more time and let's do our very best. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on. Your touch was all I long for. You have given life to me. And they all said, amen, amen. Brother John. Christians, folks, you turn right. You turn right. And those that have been baptized will meet us downstairs. We would have liked to have them come back up, but because we're going downstairs, we will. You'll have an opportunity to meet them and to congratulate them. Yes, that was great to hear those testimonies.
That was awesome.
Yes, it was awesome. And yeah, God is good. And praise God, He's working in people's lives. And believe it or not, He's working in my old hard heart as well. And we praise Him for that. God bless you. And something we didn't do is I guess we should thank God for the food. I'm sorry to bring that out. Old Burlot is sitting away back there. Can you hear me? Can you give thanks for the food? Good.